Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. Today we are once again diving deep into tales that just can't be explained. As always, these stories are sent in by viewers just like you. And if you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. Joining me today is my good friend Stories After Midnight. He has a really good channel that I think you guys should check out. If you enjoy his voice, after the video, be sure to check out his link in the top of the description and subscribe. It would mean a lot. Now, without any more hesitation, let's get into these creepy stories that can't be explained, sent in by viewers just like you. This story isn't my own, but my mother's. And yes, I did get permission from her to send this one in. She really dislikes horror stuff, and she mostly refuses to speak about this incident. It was maybe 1985 or 1986, I don't remember exactly. My mom was about 15 or 16 years old when my mom's two older sisters and some friends decided to go out at night to an area where there is a legend of a ghost witch who was murdered way back during the witch hunts, roaming around. So, they gathered into a car and set off. They made it to the area and drove around, but they couldn't find anything, so they decided to head back home, and my mom decided to turn around to look out the back windshield. She can't remember exactly why she and the others looked out the back window, but there, sitting in the road, was a lady in white, floating off the ground and looking at them. The person driving floored it, and they got the heck out of there. To this day, my mom refuses to go down that road unless it's a detour. Actually, she hates going in that part of the outskirts of the city. I have Googled for haunted areas, but I can't really find it. The road does exist, I know that for sure, but I can't find any legends about it. I've even Googled about the witch, but nothing much is talked about other than some historical facts and the legend of her ghost. The occasional story as well, but none of them really talk about a road. I have asked my aunt about it as well, and she confirmed that they saw the lady in white floating in the road. I haven't asked my other aunt yet either, but I will the moment I get to. My dad, when he was younger, has tried to find the ghost himself, and this was way before they got together, but he found nothing. He doesn't believe my mother's story, but he knows that she saw something that night that scared her badly.
Greetings, Swamp. I debated for a long time to share this story. I finally worked up the courage after listening to other people that have shared their stories. My story is a little different, but I stand by it with what pride I can have for it. The topic is deceased pets. A little backstory never seems to hurt. I'm a middle-aged female, and this experience took place roughly about 9 years ago. I've always struggled at a young age to form and maintain positive relationships with my peers. Between the daily domestic violence I witnessed, the physical beatings I endured, and the emotional abuse that killed my childhood, the only stable thing I had were my pets, specifically my cat. You see, Lucky, my cat, was also thrown away by his previous owner, so I immediately bonded with him because I could relate. He was always there for me, and he molded kindness and patience to my young self. He was my very best friend, and I considered him more of a family member. So it goes without saying that I truly understand cats more than people. Unfortunately, Lucky passed away at an old age right before I was thrown out of my house. I had him cremated, and his remains are in a cat-shaped urn of similar color and stature. The night I was thrown out, I packed up my dog and another pet cat, Reese, and headed to my unfinished two-room home I was working on at the time with my ex-fiance. However, I left in such a hurry I did not grab Lucky, and I felt absolutely awful. That night, I went to my ex's parents' home with my cat, as I could not have my dog around his family's dog. This is where stuff gets spiritual. When I was starting to fall asleep, I felt the pressure of my cat gently making itself aware on the foot of my bed. Me being upset, I called for Reese, as she is a very emotionally intelligent animal, and is receptive to being called and soothing my unrest. She did not come. I called her again. Reese had a chitter in her meow, and I heard her across the room give me an annoyed response and continued to ignore me. The pressure on the bed was still there, and started to move up alongside my leg. I started to have a panic attack, as I am also very sensitive when it comes to ghosts and spirits. My ex also noted the pressure as well as whatever it was moving. We had enough moonlight to see the room. Nothing was on the bed. The pressure continued to slowly move up alongside my leg until it was even with my shoulders. Note, I sleep on my stomach. It paused before moving back down the same side. It settled beside my foot before the pressure gradually vanished. I kid you not, I'm positive that was my deceased cat. I think he was also trying to warn me, as the relationship I had with my ex was a negative one that did not end on a positive note. I am married to a wonderful man currently that honors both my respect and friendship with my pets. I truly believe that people can have strong emotional connections with their pets, and in return, they offer love and affection that seemingly goes beyond the grave. Thanks, Swamp. It was hard to remember and share my story, but I think it was worthwhile, and I hope it is of some use to both you and your listeners.
My mom passed away 25 years ago. I was in my early 30s. My daughter was 3, and my son hadn't been thought of yet. He never got to meet his grandmother, which saddens me to this day. My mother died from complications from heart disease. She spent plenty of time at our house because I was her only daughter after having 4 sons, so I was a little spoiled after having my daughter. They loved spending time together, coloring, playing games, and my mom loved making cookies and just enjoying being a grandma. Whenever she visited us, she always had this striped cardigan sweater that she would wear if she got cold. It was a cream color with coffee brown stripes. She passed away, and I was heartbroken. I miss her to this very day. One night, I had a very vivid dream of her. I was going to a Boston Red Sox game. I was across the street from the stadium, and my phone rang. It was Mom. She asked me, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm on my way to find my seat." At that moment, I looked up. The crowd parted like the Red Sea. And there was my mom, standing there, waving me on over to her. I got halfway to her, and I woke up. My bedroom was softly lit with blue light, and I sat up, and Mom was against my doorway, leaning in the hall, arms folded and smiling at me. She was wearing her cardigan. I was sitting there, eyes wide open in disbelief. I started pinching my arm and started to freak out a little. Like, was this really happening? I went to lie down and covered my face for about 15 seconds. When I looked again, she was gone. I slept fitfully for the rest of the night. I woke up the next morning remembering my dream. I thought it was a pretty weird and not normal dream. It had to have been something, maybe a premonition, I don't know. I thought I was half crazy about such a vivid dream until I looked down a huge bruise on my arm where I pinched myself the night before. I haven't dreamt of her since. but since she died shortly after Christmas, I still get whiffs of her perfume when I'm doing laundry, which is her favorite chore for whatever reason, and around Christmas time I'll also get quick, faint whiffs of her smell. It's weird, I know, but thank you for sharing my story. This happened the summer of 2017 in North Idaho, near the Spokane area. So, my mom, sisters, stepdad, and I all moved into a new house, rather close to where we were living previously. We were within walking distance, actually. I know this place in the general area because of its housing development, and it's rather easy to navigate. Now, at the edge of the development is a field meant for farming, but long abandoned as they had been bought by development owners. Sometimes, I sneak out there at night to smoke or drink or just get away. I should mention, I am and was a hedge witch, and study all sorts of spooky things. But I've never heard of something like the creature I saw this night. It was sometime a little past 4th of July. I remember some of the neighbors lighting off some of those leftover fireworks they had, and I decided I wanted to watch them from the special spot on the field. The spot was the very end of the nearby biking trail, and it has a sort of storm drain that was cut open by some homeless person or edgy teens. Maybe something around those sorts, who knows. On the other side, it was closed and uncut, but rusty. I've painted this place with some protective sigils because I'm paranoid. Anyway, I'm on the trail laying on the center of the trail, smoking, near midnight, not long after the last of the fireworks. I thought I heard some large rodents or something that I didn't know was there, so I get up and try to spook it away or something. I stood up making a lot of noise doing so, and I looked at where the noise is coming from. I see a wolf-like head poking its way up from the drain-style things, but it was on the outside of the closed drain. It looked a lot like a werewolf from those movies, but gangly, and its bones were protruding from parts of it, and its jaw was practically hanging by some flesh and torn skin tissue. It was tall. I'm only 5'2", and can't usually tell how tall someone is, but this thing was towering me, even from a distance. It was easily 9 feet tall, and its fur was matted down and sleek against its body. Its fur, if you even want to call it that, was an almost sandy color, a lot like the rest of the dead field surrounding us. I don't think it had eyes. At least, I didn't notice any. It climbed up past the cement wall that leads to the drain, a lot like it had grappling hooks, but they were bone fingers that seemed to be sharpened. I started saying protective spells and weakening spells. I was hoping that this would weaken it. I hopped on my bike, trying to quickly bike down the trail. Now that's where you think this might end, but no. When I got home, I entered quietly, trying not to wake my parents, and I went up to my room. It was an A-frame room that touched the roof. After a while, I tried to go to sleep and was almost successful, until I heard loud scraping down my roof. It happened for a while, and I ended up running to my mom and telling her I heard loud scraping down the roof. She didn't really believe me, and told me to go back to bed. Nothing has ever happened to me ever since, though. But my sister has been reporting hearing scraping down the roof, and has once seen a face in the window to that room. However, she ignored most, as her imagination. She doesn't really believe in this kind of stuff, and she thinks it's stupid. I'm not 100% sure what this was, but I have a feeling it was a Wendigo because of how north I am. But it could have been a werewolf or a cryptid of some sort. I'm unsure. That's why I was hoping your show would be able to maybe shed some light on my story, Mr. Swamp Dweller. If anybody has any idea what this thing could be, please comment down below. And thank you so much for sharing my story. I was 20 and going to college. I had a friend who lived two blocks from my parents' house. I was walking back to my parents' house late one day, almost 1 o'clock in the morning if I remember correctly. It was a safe neighborhood and was only 2 blocks away. As I was walking home, although I knew it was a quiet neighborhood, I got nervous as I turned on my street. There was a small park on one side of me and a row of darkened houses. Halfway down the block, I saw something I will never, ever forget. It was tall, like extremely tall and thin. It seemed to be maybe a foot across. It was doing something. I can't even tell you what it was doing. It was hunched down, its huge hands with long fingers almost covering its face, seemingly trying to hide behind a front porch pillar. As I walked by, my eyes locked on it, and it saw me. My blood turned cold. I had an intense knowledge that I wasn't supposed to see this thing, and the fact that I was staring at it made it angry. As I passed the house from the corner of my eye, I saw it lunge off the porch and start running towards me. I ran knowing it would catch me. It was fast, and I could hear its feet hit the gravel as it came to me. Then all of a sudden my family dog was running down the street towards me. My family dog has always been known for being an escape artist. He could jump the fence with ease, and on the 4th of July he had busted out the back door to protect us from the fireworks. My father had not fixed the lock yet, so my dog could theoretically have gotten out, but how he did and how he knew I was in trouble at that moment, maybe I'll never know. Maybe it was a miracle. As I ran towards my dog and away from the creature, my beautiful black flat-coated retriever ran past me towards the monster. I kept running, my heart sinking as I heard growls and what sounded like a fight. I heard a whimper, and as I made it to the door, I desperately opened the door. As I locked it behind me, weeping hysterically, collapsing with my back to the door. After that horrible whimper, there was silence. I was convinced my dog had died. I was trying to wrap my head around what had just occurred when I heard a faint scratch at the door. Half hopeful and fully terrified, I peeked outside. It was my dog. I opened the door. He stumbled in. He was covered in blood. He had a gash on his leg and his ear was almost torn off. I woke up my parents and told them I found my dog on the street already wounded. They rushed him into the veterinarian. I didn't tell them the truth because I was so scared that they would think I was crazy. I've never seen that creature again. I never felt that kind of malevolent presence again. And from there on, I had always had someone walk with me. I told a few friends immediately after it happened to my sister. I can't tell you what it was, a demon, an alien, or something else. I'd begun to practice Wicca, and the only other connection I could think was that the house that had the front porch and the post I saw the creature trying to hide behind was owned by a very nice Native American family who did drum circles and rituals at their property. My faithful, beautiful family dog recovered and lived to be 17 years of age. Hey Swamp, I used to listen to your channel often to get through my workday. Upon listening to one of your videos recently, I remembered something strange that happened a few months ago in my old house. Before I start, I better give a quick layout of the hallway it happened in. If you come out of my bedroom, which is on one end of the hallway, the door to the laundry is directly to your right. A kind of extension to the hallway, the laundry is only about 2.5 meters long. At the end of that is a door to the garage. These doors were kept open at all times, as that's how my two dogs got in and out of the house. One morning, I got up for work and did my usual routine. I brushed my teeth and had a shower. My parents were still sleeping and all the lights in the house were still off apart from the bathroom light. I came out of the bathroom and was taking my washing basket to the laundry when I looked into the garage and for a split second, I swear I saw a gray head with what looked like black pits for eyes peeking around the corner of the garage doorway. As soon as I saw it, it pulled away as if it didn't want to be seen. I froze in my tracks, not comprehending what I had just seen. I tried to tell myself I was just seeing things, and when I approached the laundry door, it was like a force field. This indescribable feeling of dread came over me, Every single fiber of my body was telling me not to go any further, and if I did, I would not like what I saw. That's when I turned around and put the basket in the bathroom. When I came back out of the bathroom, again, the house creaked. This was strange because that house never had done that before, and we had lived there for a year at this point. The weather was calm that day. My adrenaline kicked in, and I quickly grabbed my things and ran out the front door to my car and drove to work. To this day, I haven't experienced anything like that since. I have no idea what I saw. I live in New Zealand, and I'm unsure about any Maori legends that resemble the face like that, but I thought I'd share this anyway in hopes that somebody might know something. So I have a couple of stories. These are all personal experiences. This is the first time I've ever submitted any story anywhere except Facebook, so bear with me. My mother has owned a Ouija board since she was a teenager. Of course, that means I, along with my two sisters and brothers, myself being the youngest, grew up around it. I only mention my mother owning one because the exact board had been around until I was about 12 or 13. Anyway, my sisters were playing with the Ouija board with a few of their friends. At this point, I would have only been about 5 years old. I was very hyperactive, so I was running around and being a normal kid. Whatever spirit had been on the board was getting annoyed and had spelled out, "Stop." I'm not sure what else was said, but it had told my sisters and their friends not to let me near any open windows. A few weeks later, I had lost my Spider-Man toy. It still hasn't been found. So I cleaned out my sister's window, which overlooked the back patio, to ask my mom, who was talking to her friends, if she had seen it. My sister had snuck up behind me and scared me so bad that I had launched about halfway out of the window. If she hadn't caught me by my ankles, I would have gone headfirst into the cement patio. It could have been coincidental, but I don't know. Flash forward to my friends and I playing with the same Ouija board. I was roughly 10 years old and my friends were all older than me. We kept trying to get a spirit on the board, but nothing was coming through. We got bored and went out back to set off a couple of fireworks. When I say a couple, we only had like 5 bottle rockets and like 3 firecrackers. We set them off right after another. Each of us smoked a cigarette and went back inside, you know, to eat some food. Now, when I was younger, I had an obsessive habit to constantly check the time, so I knew what time it was before we walked outside. When we came back in, it was 4 hours later. I know when we're young, we all have the tendency to lose track of time, but there's no way 1 cigarette and 8 fireworks took 4 hours to do. That same night, we're all sitting in the living room just joking and carrying on. I remember joking about the Ouija board and how I was convinced my family just liked messing with me. It made sense since we couldn't get it to work. All of a sudden, we heard a loud bang from upstairs. This caught all of us off guard because none of my siblings lived with me anymore, and my mom worked until 11 p.m. So I, along with my two other friends, went up to go check it out. The source was my mom's bedroom door. I thought maybe her window was open, so I went in to close it. But all the windows were closed. I shrugged it off, and as we were headed back downstairs, my bedroom door slammed shut with enough force it shook the steps. We all ran out of the house until my mom came home. When I was 16 years old, I wanted to try my hand at ghost hunting. My friend Donovan was up for the adventure and had a camera. So we went to the only abandoned building we could really walk to. There are different rumors that float around town about what it used to be, but I don't think anyone really truly knows. We went around sunset because it's a firm believer that if a place is haunted, day and night doesn't matter, we need to go. We actually did catch a few things on camera and the voice. Unfortunately, I no longer kept contact with that friend over the years, so I don't know if I have any way of getting that. I had a small piece of wood thrown at me at one point, but it was thrown towards my boot, so I didn't really think anything of it. We could hear sirens in the distance getting closer, so we hightailed it out of there. When we got back to my house, We had moved across town, so not the same place as my other stories. We were reviewing the footage and talking about it as well as planning our next hunt. Then, as we were getting ready to head out, we heard footsteps. Now, at this point, I had been living there long enough to tell the difference between the house creaking and someone walking around. I stayed home a lot. So, I tell him to grab my knives from my stash. Our house had been broken into a few days earlier, so I was a little apprehensive about everything. We went up and I checked my room. Nothing. I checked my sister's room, and aside from her pillow being on the floor, nothing was out of place. Then, when I was ready to check my mom's room, something made me stop and really look in before taking another step. I saw a silhouette of, well, I'm not really sure what you call it. It looked male from the broad shoulders and height, but had a feminine presence and curvy look to it. It looked similar to what we had caught on camera. It shook its head and the door creaked shut. A cold chill went down my spine and I was stunned. Donovan slowly walked to the door and I told him to unlatch it and move. He did and I kicked the door open. I ran in before I could check it out, but there wasn't anything in there. At least, nothing we could see. The room was frigid though, absolutely freezing. This was the middle of July in Altoona, Pennsylvania. The temperature eventually went back to normal. We were shocked, but the hype died down after a couple of days, and we went back to our normal lives. The one thing I definitely noticed, though, is my mom was angry more often after that night. About a year later, she and my sister switched rooms and my mom was back to herself, but my sister became the angry one. I'm convinced that night had something to do with the sudden mood change. We no longer live there, and they both haven't been as angry ever since. The following incident occurred at my parents' home that they're currently living in. The house in question is quite an old house with a lot of history. 150 years of history to be exact. The house itself is located near my hometown of Strathroy, Ontario. Near the house and across the dirt road is a massive cow pasture with a forested area around it. The house itself is two stories and has tall evergreen trees around it. As I said before, the incident in question happened in this place, however, many disturbing and creepy things happened here as well. For example, there are many times we've heard voices, seen apparitions, and at one point, we even captured a menacing-looking dog mid-growl. All that aside, the experience I'm going to tell you about happened about 1 in the morning. That night, my sister had her boyfriend over. Eventually, he needed to relieve himself. Something to keep in mind is, the upstairs there are 3 bedrooms and a bathroom and a walk-in closet. It was my sister's boyfriend, who went to use the washroom, that realized the door was closed, but the light was on. Slowly but cautiously approaching the door, he heard someone weeping. Thinking it was my other sister, he knocked and asked if she was okay. It was at this point the weeping stopped. Hearing nothing, he asked once again if she was okay. Yet again, there was no response. It was then he finally got the confidence and the courage to open the door. As the door slowly creaked open, he was left in shock at the realization that there was no one in the washroom. On a different occasion, my sister swore she saw a girl in a nightgown walk from the hall to the bathroom. Upon closer inspection, however, she found no one inside the bathroom. We did research a little later on and found out that there was a woman in her 40s, who we'll call Stacy, who passed away in the house. The cause wasn't something we could figure out, but one day while my sister and I were in the basement looking for Christmas decorations, we found names etched in the stone. Sure enough, Stacy's name was one of the names etched in the stone. Truly bizarre, creepy, and unexplainable. It was 3 p.m., and I decided to take a nap after stuffing my face with junk food and also doing some light cleaning around my place. I bought my place about a month earlier and hadn't had a chance to clean it, but my job really kept me busy. I work as a nurse in the ICU. Excuses, I know. After some time sleeping, I dreamed that I was in the back of the hospital and that I was in a bed, but I couldn't move my body. It was there I lay helpless, with one lamp on my left and a life-size statue of the crucifix on the right glued to the wall. Soon, I started hearing what sounded like a Gregorian chant with no music. It was just a deep voice chanting an unknown language, over and over again. I gazed upon my right side to find out the voice singing was none other than the human-sized stone statue crucified on the cross. It began to move, and as it did so, I could hear the cracking of stones and the sound of small stone debris falling on the floor. I didn't want to see it, but when I looked at it, this strange figure was staring right at me. Red eyes, with cheeks cracked and singing that eerily demonic song while struggling to get out of the cross from the nails on its hands and feet. I could see the cracks on its joints and neck as it was made out of stone. This thing managed to free itself from the cross. It made a huge thud and began crawling toward me in the bed. I was breathing heavily and was praying for the dream to end, but I couldn't escape. Slowly, the song got louder till I realized the moving statue was already beside me, singing loudly into my ear. It was the most terrifying experience I have ever encountered. I can hear the cracks from the stone skin as it tried to sing the song over and over again. That's when I woke up crying. There was nobody inside the room, and it was already 2 a.m. when I saw the time from my watch. I almost had a heart attack when I felt crumbs of small stone dust in my bed. There was the smell of burning hair, and I can still hear the song ringing in my head, like the statue was somewhere lurking in the shadows. I ran toward the switch and turned on the lights before running outside the house crying. I sold my house the next day and never looked back again. I haven't experienced too much paranormal activity in my lifetime. A glass sliding across the table by itself, footsteps coming from nowhere, and maybe unknown critters running across my attic floor. That was the worst of it. It was nothing to lose any sleep over until one night, just a few months ago. I was on the verge of having a breakdown due to mental problems at the time. As I laid down in bed, ready to go to sleep, I turned off the light, and what greeted me was a sinister dark figure with a deformed head. The best way I can describe it is that it was similar to those weird mannequins you see at Nordstrom. You know, the ones with the pointy heads and all. It had no facial features, let alone eyes, but for some reason I could tell this thing was staring right at me. I jolted slightly, but was too scared to turn on the lights or anything for that matter. My boyfriend claimed it was sleep paralysis, but I remember being awake in bed fully aware of its presence. The thing just stood there, not reacting to any movements I could have made. Minutes seemed like a millennium, but it got to a point to where I was so freaked out I had to pull the small blanket over my head. I was sweating a lot, which made it uncomfortable to sleep. For whatever reason, I decided to look back out from my covers to see if the shadow thing was still there. I never saw it again, but when I had to draw a picture to show a therapist, I burned it afterwards just to make sure it wouldn't come back. I can thankfully say I have yet to be bothered by it again, and I really hope I never will. Thanks for listening to these creepy and unexplainable stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going, and I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. If you enjoyed my guest reader, Stories After Midnight, who read story number 2, please be sure to check their channel out. There is a link to do so in the top of the description. They upload tons of scary stories all the time, and I'm sure you'll enjoy them. If you're on the go, and you want to bring your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories with you, you can do that by downloading them on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Stitcher Radio, and just about every other major podcast platform out there. I know not everybody always has the data to be able to listen to YouTube videos on their go, so this is the perfect thing. If you made it all the way to the end, today's code word is Christmas Shrek. Also, for a limited time only, brand new Christmas exclusive Swamp Dweller shirts and jackets are for sale right now. You can find the link to that in the description or right under the video if you are on PC and even mobile, I believe, there should be a thing that shows some of the merch for sale. If you use code, all one word, COLDSHREK, you'll get $5 off of your order. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.